We're going to be in John 14 tonight, John 14, verse 1. I want to thank Pastor Turner for allowing me to preach tonight to you guys. Don't take that lightly. Also, Mr. Platt, our youth pastor, for taking us here. I know it's not easy traveling with almost 10 teenagers, but he loves it and we love it, so. All right, John 14 tonight. And while you guys are turning there, I'm going to preach from one of the I am statements in John, and there are seven in John, so I want to give you the other ones before I start preaching tonight. John 6:35 says, I am the bread of life. Jesus saith unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. I am the light of the world. John 8:12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the door, John 10:9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. I am the good shepherd, John 10:11 and verse 14. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I am the resurrection and the life, John 11:25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I am the true vine, John 15, verses 1 and verse 5. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same shall bring forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. So, John 14, verse 1, I hope you all are there. We're going to start reading in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And that verse alone is just an amazing verse.
Amen.
Let not your heart be troubled.
Good.
I know nowadays many people are troubled about a lot of things. I was with Pastor Turner today, and we were driving on the highway, and we were talking about traffic. And I know many of you probably all drive, maybe some of you. And I know traffic can be troubling at many times, especially in Florida, where we're from. There's a lot of traffic. So I don't know what you guys are troubled by tonight, but the verse says, let not your heart be troubled.
Amen.
Talking about the peace of God, like in Philippians 4:7, the peace that passeth all understanding. And also, when I was reading this chapter in John 14:27, it says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's also talking about the peace of God that he gives, not that the world gives, but that God gives. So, let's keep reading. We're going to start back in verse 2. It says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And also this verse while I was reading stopped me, because he says, I will come again. And this got me thinking about all the promises in the Bible that God gives us. He gives us many promises, and this is a great one. But I have some here that I also want to read to you. In Matthew 11:28, it says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. John 10:28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Matthew 7:7, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And when I thought about this verse, I remember on Tuesdays and Thursdays, our school does a prayer group. And I lead that also with some others, a senior and a junior that, and a freshman that also are in our school. We lead prayer groups every Tuesday and Thursday. And on Thursday, we give Bible lessons and little devos so that to encourage the other people in the school about this. And Scott Pauley's podcast that I listen to almost every day driving to school, he talked about how when Jesus died on the cross, he realized that every sin that we committed and every sin we are going to commit was going to be placed on him. But yet he still died on the cross for us,
right,
knowing all that.
Right.
And Romans 8:38-39 says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This verse shows us how great God's love is for us, and how he will never leave us nor forsake us. Okay, so let's keep reading, and we're going to be pick up back in verse 4. It says, "And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And our pastor back at our church in Florida, he talks about how in verse 5, when Thomas asked him that question, we should thank God that Thomas asked him that question. We usually call him Doubting Thomas, but without this question, we would have never got this statement, this beautiful I am statement in verse 6. So let's start in the sermon with point 1, which is simply the way. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Amen. And usually in our lives, the devil has many doors that he wants us to go through. But God has one door, which is his perfect will. And this verse reminds us that in everything we do, we should think about God and trust in him to show us his door in our life, his perfect will. And there's a quote that I can't remember who said it first, but Pastor and Mr. Platt usually says it. It says that there is no success outside of the will of God, and also no failure inside of the will of God.
Amen.
So when we go through God's door, his perfect will for us, there can be no failure and there can be no success outside of his will. So in John 18, verses 4 through 8, this talks about, this chapter is when Judas betrays Jesus in the garden. And that's a few chapters after this one, if you want to turn there. And when I was reading it, it talks about how he brought with him a band of men. And when I looked it up, a band of men could be from anywhere from 200 to about 600 people, all to arrest one person, which is crazy to think about. And in verse 6, it talks about, I am he. And I know that we're talking about the I am statements, but this is also a great statement, saying, I am he, when he asked, who is this guy? And verse 8 says, Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. And this talks about how the disciples were going their way. And we know that all the disciples eventually left him and went their way, except Peter. But Peter stayed a little far off. So we can see how in this first point, the way, Peter even went his own way. So in our lives, if Peter, while he was walking with Jesus for 3.5 years, seeing Jesus, if Peter can go his own way, then we can definitely go our own way. Yes, we have to keep our minds fixed on Jesus, and we have to trust in him. And recently, Mr. Platt was teaching us in Sunday school. He was in Luke 17, and Luke 17, if you want to turn there, talks about 10 people with leprosy.
Yes.
And I'll read you some of the chapter, but not all of it. It says in verse 13, cutting to pretty much the middle of the story, it says, "And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed." And Mr. Platt made a good point that before they even saw Jesus heal them, they actually obeyed what he said. Because he said, "Go show yourselves unto the priests." And then they went, and then they were cleansed. So they had faith in God, and they believed that he can cleanse them. And then verse 15 says, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face and at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan." So we see here that in verse 13 and 14, all 10 believed. But in 15 and 16, only one actually trusted in God, because he came back, and he thanked him for healing him.
Amen.
And if you jump down to verse 19, he says, "And he said unto them, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." We see that the 9 that didn't come back to thank him, they went their way. But one came back, and he asked God. He said, "Thank you for healing me." And then in verse 19, he says, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." So he followed the way that God had for him. The other 9 didn't. And in Hebrews 12:2, it says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." This just reminds us, tying this all back together, that we have to look to Jesus and we have to follow his way that he has for us in our lives. So, point 1 is the way. Point 2 is the truth. So let's turn back to John 14. And while you're turning there, John 8:31-32 says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Amen.
So, the worldly definition of truth is the quality of being true. It's not what God says, it's whatever you think is true. Jeremiah 17:9 says, yeah. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?
True. Yeah.
So if that verse tells us that our heart is wicked and desperately wicked, it says, why should we trust it to tell us what is true?
That's good.
We have to follow what God says and his path in our life. Like Proverbs 3:5-6, saying, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Okay, sorry. Jeremiah 17:10 says, I, the Lord, searcheth the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. And we see in that verse also, it talks about the ways of man. But it talks about searching the heart. The Lord searches the heart and tries the reins. So, I know that Mr. Platt and Pastor talks about this a lot, but we all bear fruit. Everybody bears fruit depending on what they do. They bear bad fruit, and they bear good fruit. And John, 1 John 1:8, it says, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we think that we're living for God, but our actions don't show it, it says we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And we know that the Lord is truth. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Right.
So, also, Mr. Platt, I keep mentioning him a lot because he says a lot of good stuff, and I write it down. But he talks about the root system and our shoot system in Bible class. So, our shoot system is what people see on the outside, but our root system is what we do in our personal lives, like our devos, praying. That's our root system. And something that I deal with when I was a kid was pulling weeds. So I know weeds is a universal thing. Everybody has weeds, okay? I know in Florida right now, I have to cut my grass almost every week because it's so hot. The grass grows so fast, so I have to keep cutting it. And when I was a kid, instead of pulling the weeds every probably week and 2 weeks, we would just put a tarp over it to cover it up, to make it look good, but not actually solve the problem. That was covering the shoot system, but not the root system. And in our lives, it's the same way, how we try to cover things up, but not actually take out the root problem, which is the sin in our lives. John 14 is clear in telling us that Jesus is the truth, and that if we need truth, we have to look to him and only him. So we see that Jesus is the way and the truth, but now coming to the third point, he is the life. John 11:25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. So tonight, I don't know most of the people in this room, I don't know where you are spiritually, but if you're not saved, call on Jesus today. He is the life, everlasting life.
Amen.
He is the spring of living water, the water that never runs out. Like the woman, the Samaritan woman, how she came to him and he gave her everlasting water.
Yes.
Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Call on Jesus today if you're not saved. And if you are, like we talked about our fruit, you need to show people that you're bearing fruit in your life by passing out tracts. I know Pastor Turner is big on passing out tracts. I love that. We passed out tracts almost half the day on Tuesday, and that was a blessing. It was actually not hot like it is in Florida. So it was actually fun, and it was bearable. And something I saw in Romans 10:9, I'm going to read it again. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And something that stuck out to me was the if in that verse, saying that we have to do something and then we'll be saved. Sometimes in our lives, maybe we want the then, the product, the aftermath, but we don't want to do the process of actually doing it because sometimes that might be hard or that might be painful, but we have to do it to get the then. And turn to Mark 9 with it. Mark 9, this is also one of my favorite passages in the Gospels. Mark 9 talks about, in verse 14, it starts talking about how there was a man who his son was possessed by demons, and Jesus came, and the disciples tried to cast him out, but they couldn't. And they were wondering, and they asked Jesus, why can't we cast him out? And Jesus told them that this kind only goes out by prayer and fasting. So, in Mark 9, you could pick up in verse 23 with me. It says, Jesus saith unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Seeing the if again in that verse. And verse 24 says, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And tying this back to the if then, maybe sometimes like the father, we want the belief, right? We want to see God's work in our life. But he says that help thou mine unbelief. So maybe we want the easy way to just believe, but also we need to address our unbelief in our lives. Many of us believe, all of us believe, everybody believes in something, but we all need Jesus to help our unbelief. And Mark 9:23, he says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth, as I said already. So, point one was the way, point two is the truth, point three is life. In conclusion tonight, we're going to look at verse 24 of John, if I can come back. John 14 again. Sorry, we're not in verse 24. Verse 9. John 14, sorry, not verse 24. Something that our pastor always talks about is our prayer lists. And I know we just had the prayer requests, the prayer list that you guys have now. And something that I thought about, sometimes when we have our prayer lists, we want to ask God for things that might not be easy, but something that we think is possible, something that he can do for us. But something that our pastor talks about is, why don't we put our impossible things on our prayer list? Because God, our God is a God of miracles. He can do many things, as we see in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. He even raised people from the dead. So why can't we trust him with some things on our prayer list that we think are impossible, but he can actually do? And Acts 4:12, it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. God can do anything he wants. He can save a sinner like me, like you. He can even do that. There's nothing too hard for God. Like this song says, is there anything too hard for God? So, in conclusion tonight, we saw that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But let's look at the last half of the verse, in verse 6. It says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And this ties all the way back to my first point, how I was saying there's many doors that we have, but God only has one door. No one cometh to the Father but by him. So, thank you for listening. That was my sermon, and let's pray in conclusion. Dear Lord, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for giving me the strength and the power to preach this sermon, Lord. I pray so that you have me say all the words that you wanted, Lord. I pray so that these people, they heard it, Lord. Pray so that they got something from it. Pray so you'd be with Travis after me, Lord, as he gives his sermon. I pray so you'd be with this church, Lord. Thank you for all the work that you're doing here in Canada. Pray so you could be with us, Lord, as we travel back and do many other things this week, Lord. Thank you for everything done for us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good evening, church. As I said before, my name is Travis Massey, and as you all know, we're from Florida, just north of Miami there. And tonight, I'm going to be preaching from Luke chapter 6. So if you would like to turn there, please. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. I'm going to be, I apologize, Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. I'll be starting in verse 17. Luke 5:17. And the Bible says, and it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with the palsy. and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in the housetop of because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon the earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thy house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Church, tonight, I want us to look back at verse 21, and the title of our message is found here. As the Pharisees are trying to ridicule Jesus, they say, Who is this? And that's the title of our sermon tonight, Who is this? Firstly, that I want us to see, point number one, who is this? The man who can forgive sin. So in our passage, the first thing we see is the friends, how they lower the man in to the house because they knew that Jesus was the way to heal the man. So the friends here, they're a good representation of what type of friend we should be. We should be a good Christian friend who, what the friends did, they brought the man to Jesus. They brought him to Jesus, and if as a good Christian friend, we bring others closer to Jesus. We don't push them away by how we act. And if we have, you know, a lot of times, Mr. Brother Platt will talk about how the way we act, if we have or if some kids in our youth group go to public school, and you're in sometimes, as our pastor, and then also Brother Platt always says, you may be the only Bible that someone reads. So the way we act is a representation of what type of Christian you are. So if we continue down now, when Jesus sees the man, the first thing he said, when he saw their faith, so firstly, under this point, is their faith and the man's faith. And we see here that once Jesus saw the man's faith, how the friends persisted and the man was lowered in, Jesus saw the faith, then Jesus forgave the sins. So that's the second thing, works. Because the faith here, the works, the healing of the sin, didn't come until Jesus saw the faith. We have to have faith in God. We have to make a step. And then Jesus will do his own work. Amen. And then as we continue here, then the Pharisees, once Jesus, of course, forgave the man's sins, the Pharisees, not believing that Jesus was the one true Christ, the Messiah, the promised Messiah, the Pharisees say, Who is this? Speaking blasphemies, of course, not believing that Jesus can forgive the sins. But we know that Jesus has the power to do that.
Amen.
And Jesus, of course, knowing everything, knew what the Pharisees were murmuring about. He asked them, Why reason ye in your hearts? And kind of here, joking with them, is it easier to say that sins be forgiven thee or to make a lame man to walk again? And Jesus gives an example. He shows them that he has the power to do both. Not only can he forgive them of sins, but he can make any lame man or anyone who is needing of healing walk again. So there's three passages tonight. That was the first. Secondly, church, let's turn to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. We'll be starting verse 23 of Matthew chapter 8. And this is going to lead into our second point tonight of the man who can control creation. Point number two, the man who can control creation. Matthew 8:23. The Bible says, And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? So here, firstly, we see how Jesus rebuked his disciples. And the disciples had, of course, been with Jesus for a while now. They had seen what miracles Jesus can do. They had helped him. They had They had lived through all these miracles and how they helped Jesus. They saw all these things. But yet, when a storm came in their life, they didn't turn to Jesus for strength. They became fearful. And that's something we can do. When a storm comes in our life, we don't turn to the right either counsel or we don't turn to Jesus for protection, but we kind of try to do it in our own way. And since we didn't immediately lean on Jesus, that's why Jesus kind of rebuked them here. They went to him, but not first. And then secondly here, we see how Jesus rebuked the wind. And Jesus, after rebuking the disciples, saying, "Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith?" He then arose and rebuked the winds. He calmed the storm. And Jesus can do the same thing in our life. No matter what storm you're going through, Jesus can calm it, and you can have peace with him. And of course, after Jesus did this great miracle, the disciples, marveling, saying, "What manner of man is this?" They knew Jesus had the power to do all these things. They had seen him turn water into wine in the wedding at Cana and many other miracles. But once it was real to them, then they truly were marveling at him and they saw his power. And thirdly tonight, and going back to Luke chapter 9. And our third point tonight is, who is this? He is the Christ.
Amen.
He is the Christ. Luke chapter 9, in verse 18, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him. And he asked them, saying, Whom say the people that I am? They answering said, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. And he said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Peter answering said, The Christ of God." Thirdly night, who is this? He is the Christ. First that we see in this passage is, what do the people say? Jesus asked his disciples what others thought of him. Mm-hmm. Well, Jesus knows what everyone thinks. He knows it all. He wanted to hear from the disciples of what people think about Jesus. What are the word on the town of who people think Jesus is? And everyone in the world has an idea of Jesus. They all think about something about Jesus. Muslims, those who follow Islam, they think that Jesus was a prophet or a good man. And the Jews, they think that Jesus was another good man or a prophet. But we know that Jesus is the Christ. We know that he is the Messiah, the Son of God,
Amen.
Who came to die on the cross for our sins and rose again 3 days later.
Amen.
And secondly, Jesus then asked them, what do they think? Whom say ye that I am? And Peter, of course, answering said, the Christ of God. And secondly, night, what do you say? What do you say Jesus is? Who is Jesus to you?
Good.
Peter knew who Jesus was. Peter answered, and this is one of probably the best things Peter said, the Christ of God. Peter had who Jesus is right. He knew that Jesus was the Christ, Jesus was the Messiah, Jesus came to forgive us of all our sin. And tonight, church, I ask you, who is Jesus to you? Who is this? Is he the man, your Savior, who forgave all your sin? Who is he, your Christ? And in conclusion tonight, that is our question. Who is this? Who is he to you? Let's pray.